Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to begin today's sermon a little bit differently than I normally do, and that is to read off for you 12 reasons why a local pastor stopped attending sports events. Now, it's a riff off of the excuses that people give for stopping going to church. Now, let's flip those around on sports. Every time I went, they asked me for money. The people with whom I had to sit didn't seem very friendly. The seats were too hard. Have you ever been to Lambeau? The coach never came to call on me. The referee made a decision with which I did not agree. I was sitting with some hypocrites. They came only to see what jerseys other people were wearing. Some games went into overtime, and I was late getting home. They played some songs I didn't know or like. The games are scheduled when I want to do other things, and it's my only day to sleep in. My parents took me to too many games when I was growing up. Since I read a book on sports, I feel that I know more than the coaches anyhow. I don't want to take my children because I want them to choose for themselves which team they like best. Think about all of the excuses that we give for skipping church. Next time that thought crosses your mind, try saying it out loud and seeing how God would feel about it. Now, you don't actually have to say it out loud to know that God knows all of your thoughts and your desires. But when you say it out loud, maybe it will convince you that that is a bad excuse. Well, Lord, it's just too nice outside today. It's like saying to God, Lord, I know that you've controlled the weather and you've given us such a beautiful day that you have made, so I don't want to go worship you today. Think about all of these excuses, all of the sports that we throw our kids into, the practices that they now have, our desire to sleep. The fact is that God has given us a week. He has created that week, and he has explicitly set aside a day to rest in him. Now, it's true that we no longer worship on that Sabbath day because Christ's resurrection over the grave has changed everything. It is a new beginning. It is a new day. This is the day. This is the Lord's day. This is the day that he has called us to worship him as he has risen from the dead. Think about all of these excuses. And now let's listen to some that people gave in the Bible. Jesus tells a parable of the great supper. A certain man gave a great supper and he invited many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said, "I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." Another came and said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." Still another said, "I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come." Now it's true. I haven't heard many of these excuses. No one has ever come to me and said, "Well, Pastor, I'm sorry I missed church on Sunday. I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I had to go check them out." But it is true that so many couples, after they get married, and they usually get married on Saturdays, are not found in the pews on Sunday morning. Now, thankfully, we have Wednesday evening service, which gives them an opportunity to come then. And when you are traveling, I encourage you to find either our Wednesday service or, even better yet, find a Missouri Synod church closest to where you are vacationing. When you vacation, it should not be a vacation from the Lord. The Lord has given you the ability to go on vacation, or as they call it in many places of Europe, a holiday, which is bringing holy day into one word. All of our excuses are just as lame as the ones given in the scriptures. Yes, it is true that sometimes physically we are unable. Maybe we have an ailment. Maybe we have a disease. Maybe we're sick. Or maybe our knees no longer work. And when that happens, call me. I am willing and ready to come out to you to give you the gifts that our Lord has to give. But if you are able-bodied, every single week, you should find yourselves exactly where you are today. Now, I know that this is literally preaching to the choir for some of you, but when you are here, engage in the service. Sure, you've sung these words time after time after time, but lay yourselves into them. Read the texts that you are singing and rejoice in them. After David had sinned so greatly against God, after he had taken a woman that was not his and lain with her, and then killed her husband on top of it, the prophet Nathan comes to him and says, "A terrible, tragic thing has happened. A man has slain a lamb." And David says, "This man deserves death." And Nathan says, "You are the man." David falls to his knees in repentance, and he writes the words that we sing after receiving our offerings from our Lord. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Those words had such meaning then, and they should have meaning in our own hearts. Only God can forgive us our sins. He has done it by the death of his Son. The master sends the servants out. And he says, "Go and gather all the lame, the blind, bring them in." And the master is told, "It is already done." And so the master says, "Go into the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Waterford has over 5,000 people in it. And I guarantee that not all 5,000 of them are in a church this morning, nor will they be. That is where we come in. That is where you find yourself an opportunity to be an evangelist, an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Yes, we give thanks to God for the missionaries that are overseas, but don't think that we don't need that mission work right here. Many of us in our own homes, in our own communities, in our own state, in these United States, we need missions too. And that's where each and every one of you come in. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone. Every opportunity that the Lord gives you. Say, "It's Sunday this week. I'm going to church. Come with me." And do it again and again and again. And guess what? It might not work, but the opportunity is there that it will. And give thanks to God for that. Jesus ends this parable with these words, "For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." Church lasts, what, a little over an hour in a week's time? We can't give that back to the Lord. That's asking too much of the very one who created you, who knit you together in your own mother's womb, who gave you all the things that you have in this life. Think about that. And church should be your reason to miss everything else. None of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. When we miss a week, it can disrupt our lives, and I pray that it does. But sometimes a week can turn into weeks. Weeks can turn into a month can turn into months, and before you know it, it has been a year, and we have dried up spiritually. God creates a holy desire in each of you to receive this supper. Come, the supper is ready. This very day, the Lord has given us his supper to eat and to drink. And it's not the same as this feast in this text. No, this is a supper that feeds not just your bellies, but your souls. This is a supper that gives you the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, won for you on his cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins. That is the supper that is prepared for you today, and it is a foretaste of the everlasting supper, the feast in heaven. Now, I would be remiss if I don't add a second sermon here today, because I think the greatest thing that has ever happened in my lifetime happened on Friday. And I don't just mean the fact that it was the feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, where we celebrated the birth of a baby boy, a forerunner of the Christ, the one who prepared the way. And I don't mean that it was also just because it was Zoe's baptismal birthday, a day that we celebrated another baby's new life in Christ. You know what I'm speaking about. After almost 50 years of injustice, Roe versus Wade has finally been struck down. And that should be a reason for every Christian on earth and every sane person to celebrate. Do I know that there is much left to come? Yes. Do I know that there will continue to be abortion and injustice in the world? Yes. Do I know that as we stand right now in New York City, there are more black children aborted than born? Yes, I know these things. And we have plenty to continue to fight about. We have plenty to continue to pray about. We have plenty to continue to go out into the streets and pray over and to speak words of love. We have so much, not just in word, but also in deed. Give consideration to the words of our epistle lesson. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Why is it essential that such a terrible thing was finally struck down? Because it shows that God is still with us. It shows that he has not chosen to completely destroy us quite yet. It shows us that we have a reason to hope. For the years that we have prayed, God has heard us. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. This is why we fight. We fight for all the young women who are in terrible, tragic situations, who need to hear the words of forgiveness, who need to hear the words that Jesus Christ died for that sin too. We need a country to come together in repentance, because if you have seen anything in the months since the release, the leaked documents, you have seen not a nation of love. Over 40 pregnancy centers have been either bombed or graffitied, or terrible things have happened to them. Places that we have set women and their babies to be cared for. I pray that this ceases. I have seen politicians say that this statement by the Supreme Court will kill more lives. I just don't see it. Yes, there are many things that we need to do. Yes, men need to step up and care for the women and care for those lives that they created. And guess what? God created something 6,000 years ago to do that. It's called marriage, and it would be helpful if we would enter into it before all the sorts of things that come next. God has given us so much. And even though I know we have so much more work to do, today is a day that I will celebrate. Today is a day that I will rejoice and be glad in. And I hope that you do too. The church sings. Therefore saith God, I must arise, the poor see devastation, and unto me have come their sighs, I've heard their lamentation. My saving word upon the plain shall fight my foes with might and main, the poor with strength uphold. Preserve thy word ever pure and free from this vile generation, and keep us subject unto thee, safe from their infiltration. The godless everywhere abound, wherever such wicked men are found, exalted midst thy people. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.